Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and we want to thank State Senator Bob Hedlund for joining us and talking a little bit about the flood insurance and what's going on as far as tech tax. Now we're moving forward, and a couple of the gentlemen who are joining me this evening so happen to be, I've had a chance to speak with them. They are well-versed as far as politics, things that are going on in Brockton. My first guest, of course, is Mr. Richard Bath, a former school committee member, mm-hmm. also somebody who follows politics closely, mm-hmm. Not only just locally, but he's also a guy who follows things nationally. That might be another show that we have him on to talk about. Hello, Richard. How are you, sir?
Good. Good evening, Kevin. You know, I'm doing well, and it's a pleasure to be back here with you. Not here, but be with
just,
you on
the,
air again.
Being on
just
the airwaves.
With you on air again.
Well, and then, of course, we have Mr. Bernie Hassan. Mr. Bernie Hassan kind of makes up. There was a point in time in radio history that these two gentlemen were actually in a room talking about politics on the eve that we were getting results, whether it would be preliminary results or general election and results. And Mr. Yeah. Hassan would be part of that conversation, also a radio show host himself. Hello.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good to be back. And we've done a few of those election mm-hmm. eve results. I remember being actually sent out on the road on one of those elections.
Roving reporter.
We did a great job that year. The whole station.
I thought it was fabulous. We did a really good job. It was very incisive too.
Yeah.
I mean, we came up with a lot of good analysis.
And we were going between different campaign yep. headquarters. It was great.
And the idea of today's conversation is to kind of take book. Last week, there was a preliminary election in the city of Brockton, and if anybody remembers the movie Men in Black, when they brought Will Smith in with a bunch of other. Military people. The reason why we brought you in here is because you're the best of the best of the best, and that's why I have these two gentlemen here, because they know how to articulate and take a look at what's going on in the city of Brockton, and they also are good at, as far as looking at politics and looking at things community-wide.
And you know something, Kevin? I couldn't agree with you more.
That was a good follow-up statement, Mr. Bath.
Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome, Brad.
I have, first and foremost, we'll throw it to Richard. Your first impressions of, I mean, we had four races. You had two ward council races. One of them, of course, open ward 7 seat, where you had three candidates vying for two seats to be on the ballot in November. Mm-hmm. And then you had an incumbent in ward 5, and he had two suitors who were hoping to either unseat him or at least be on the ballot for the general election. Then we had 52 people who were running for council at large. You know, I'm being facetious.
I was thinking of that. This is like the wild card race in the yeah. In the American League.
When I started reading the
ballot, it looked like the cast of El Cid. You know, cast of thousands coming in. I was waiting for Cecil B. DeMille to come on the line and say, okay, everybody, line up.
Yeah, and technically there were 15 folks, and they were hoping right. to be one of eight to be on the ballot. Mm-hmm. And of course, the two incumbents who are remaining, they're hoping that they will be they will, because they did substantially well. But then we had four suitors who were running for mayor. Of course, you had the incumbent mayor Linda Balzotti. You had Ward 7 councilor Chris McMillan, who was taking a shot at hopefully being the next mayor of Brockton. Bill Carpenter, Ward 5 school committee member, and then Mr. Matta, who is a local activist, retired businessman. Where do you want to start, gentlemen? Do you want to start in the ward and work our way up, or do you?
Yeah,
want
I think that might be a good place to start. Let's go to the ward.
Let's
do the ward.
Then we can
finish up with the mayor. Because I got a lot of things. I think that's probably going to have the most discussion.
We get about 26 minutes to kind of sit here and chat.
I would say to you, and hopefully Bernie agrees with it, and I think he just did. I think a focus on what the two mayoral candidates have to do and worry about.
And any thought as far as Richard Zaccaro running against Tim Sullivan, who is was he a one term or two term school committee member?
It's two. Mm-hmm.
Two term school committee member, and then a relative newcomer, Shirley Rita Azak.
I
was surprised at the numbers that Richard Zaccaro, who was the biggest thing that I thought was on residents' minds was taxes. And I know that was the one thing that was the calling card of Richard Zaccaro was that he wanted to go in there and do something in regards to that. And it seems as though either he didn't get his word out or voters didn't respond to him. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, everybody focuses on taxes, and I've got my own theory about that that we can get into when we talk about the, you know, the mayoral race, because taxes, nobody wants to pay any more taxes.
Nope.
However, I think we
still have to fund the city.
Yeah, we need to talk about that, and I think that's going to be a huge campaign issue. But I was surprised that Dick didn't do better than he did, and he. And in finishing last, there was came as no surprise that Tim Sullivan took seven. If you take a look at his he was unopposed in the last two elections for school committee, and he was polling about 700-800 votes. So, and when he first ran, he had an opponent, and he beat his opponent by 3-1. So he's done some work with the school committee there, and I think that kind of resonated with his following, you know. He's got a track record.
Would it be bad of us to sit here and say that he's probably the odds-on favorite, or do you feel that Shirley Azak has? I mean, she.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that. I think he is the favorite based on all the things Richard was talking about, and not to be particularly critical because we, you know, everybody knows everybody in the city. I've been to one or two of Dick's fundraisers, and honestly, he's got the right message. I just don't think when he's speaking to people in public situations that he gets it across.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think so. If you go to his fundraiser, you go, great guy, great idea, but, you know, what really was the message? Mm-hmm. Shirley, on the other hand, you know, a newcomer to politics, a lovely lady, you know, she's Lebanese. There's a serious Lebanese community in Ward 7.
Okay.
So there is some support there.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
Some support there. If you've watched the Lebanese church in Ward 7 over the last few years, it's grown tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Again, from when I was a little boy, we used to have five masses there on Sunday. There's one now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I go to those functions, and they're packed because young Lebanese people who are coming to this country with their kids and moving into this area again, and so there is a significant base there.
Okay. Yeah, and if she wants to win this, that's what she's got to vote. She's got to garner that vote. You know, that so often in the city of Brockton, where you've got people of color or people of different ethnic backgrounds, they think they throw their hat in the ring, and they think they're, you know, because they are of an ethnic background, that they don't have to do the work to garner that vote. You know, I don't care what group you're with, what ethnic background you are, what color you are. If you don't give people a reason to vote for you, they're not going to vote for you. It's as simple as that.
Let's move forward to the you got Dennis DiNapoli, who is going to be facing off against Ollie J. Spears. If you look at the numbers, Dennis kind of technically kind of doubled up what his two opponents got. If you kind of add in the write-in votes. Give me your thought. I mean, he got, you know, nearly 50% of the vote. I mean, is it a shoe-in that he's
going to get? Yeah, he got 48.6% of the vote, you know. And I think this is a race, unlike Ward 7, where I don't think – let me just go back to Ward 7. Tim Sullivan's lead is 117 votes, and he's up on Shirley Azak by 12.3%. I don't think that's insurmountable if she can get the vote up.
If she gets out there.
Yeah. Ward 5, however, you got Dennis that's, you know, 1.4 points below getting 50% of the vote, you know. I would say if that vote was 52.6, then that's over.
Okay,
because I don't think anybody can overcome that. In a three-person race, if you garner more than 54% of the vote or 53% of the vote, it's going to be very hard for that next person to catch up. And Ollie, and I know Ollie Spears, and Ollie is 242-point votes shy of what Dennis got, but it's 18.3%. That's a hell of a...
That's beyond
the margin of error.
It is, and so clearly at this moment in time, he has a shot. But let's again remember, we've got a veteran city councilor in that ward who is extremely active. So.
And I want to throw this out there because I had a chance to speak with John McGarry before, and he kind of has a feel as to what the turnout is going to be, depending on weather, depending on candidates. We saw 2 years ago, we saw an abysmal turnout because you only had two races. You had mayor and you had a ward council race. So you didn't really have that many people turn out. He kind of predicted 20%. He had, I think, like 19.9%.
John is very good at that. I mean, he's been doing this for years, so he's pretty good at it.
But
remember, he was also an elected official.
Correct.
Okay, correct. He was school committee and he was in the city council, yeah, so he understands, you know, the notion of running.
Well, he's predicting 40% for the general election. So let's see if he hits that mark, because then there's more votes to be gotten by his candidates.
He was correct this time as well.
Yeah, he was very.
If we were to move forward to the, because I do want to make sure we dedicate enough time for the mayoral.
I think that's the important race.
Give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts on the at large race. I mean, we knew the two incumbents did very well. Bobby Sullivan always does well. Once again, he was the top vote getter with 4,320 votes.
Right.
18.9% of the vote. Right behind him, of course, Jay Stewart, who I think is, I mean, you get the two incumbents. Those are the names that folks know, so they're going to vote for them. Other than that, I mean, you had, you know, Moses Rodriguez, who I believe came in second.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how? I didn't see his name out there.
I think you have to look at that. While he didn't really put up a much of a campaign, as so it seemed, you know, he's been around the city for a long time.
Sure.
Was in City Hall with a previous mayor.
Right.
And he's got serious roots in the Cape Verdean community.
Right.
So,
not to dispute it, but I believe that, but he also came with controversy from time to time.
Well, I think that as we deal through these names to some degree, some of the folks that have been around have come in with controversy.
There's you have your degree of retreads on here, without a doubt. And that's no disrespect, but we did just note them from either their being a part of races, whether they did things on the county level, what have you been.
I think the difference this time with Moses Rodriguez than when he ran the last time. Remember, ran for, I think it was a council in, was it four? It was ward council in four, okay. I believe. He got virtually no votes.
But he ran against?
He ran against Studsy.
Tough.
Right, tough.
Tough run.
But you know, you would suspect that he might even get double digit votes. I don't think he did well at all. And I think and I think there was a sense of, you know, I'm Cape Verdean, I'm going to get the Cape Verdean vote. Right. I don't have to do the work, you know, wrong. And I think he learned from that mistake. Look at Moses is no dummy.
Nope.
Okay, Moses is a very smart guy. Speaks five languages.
Absolutely.
So let's think about that. Yep.
Was he not the community liaison for Mayor Harrington?
Yes, and when he worked for Brockton Hospital, he was a community liaison there, speaking to, five languages. You know, and I think
I'm lucky I can master the one I'm talking. So,
but I think that's got to come out in his election.
Right.
I think Moses is in for a good shot of making the council at large. I think Sully and I think Jay Stewart are a lot. I think that's a fait accompli. I think you got the two open seats. I think Moses has one, but I think the rest is going to be very interesting. And I think it's going to be between Craig Pina and Maria and was it Shania Shayna Barnes. Maria Barnes?
Shayna Barnes. Yeah. Shayna Barnes, who folks who may or may not know, I believe she runs the district office for Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Yeah,
I think she gets that's how she kind of gets name recognition. You see her everywhere. I guess I have to ask though, Craig Pina. I think Craig Pina was in this particular race. Do you feel that ballot? How important is ballot position?
Because it's important.
It's important.
So now we're going to look at the ballot, and the two top vote getters are going to be at the top.
Yep.
When you're looking at it, and that's got to be good for something. I don't know what the numbers might be. Mm-hmm. You may know these numbers. Is it good for 1-2% of the vote right off the top?
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes you get people that go and say, "Okay, here's how I'm going to vote: 1, 2, 3, 4."
Right.
there's no rhyme or reason.
But you know, they're also got name recognition,
sure.
And so now they're right at the top.
Sure.
So
sure.
And so then you go below, you go beyond that, and certainly, you know, you look at who's there. You know, Paul Beckner finally makes the final cut after.
Right. But I have to ask this. I have to throw this out there. Did either one of you have a chance to see any video or see them when they did any kind of forums? Did you see any of these candidates?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did. And I'm going to tell you, I hate to say this.
Good.
I was not impressed with anything there.
No disrespect.
You're talking about debates on cable access.
On cable access. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you.
It's a tough forum.
It is a tough forum.
It's a tough
forum.
You pile them all in there together. It's a tough forum. And for people who... a lot of somewhat political newcomers or debate newcomers, so to speak.
Right. But you know something? I don't think the substance of the discussion was good. You know, and I want to get onto the mayoral debate. Yeah, see how you feel about that, Bernie. But you know, here's the deal. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to get two new city councilors. At large.
Regardless, yeah.
At large.
Regardless.
I mean, yes. You know.
Okay, and then you're going to get a third from Ward 7.
Hey, you know, and a tip of the cap to Tom Brophy, who was, you know, the guy who was, you know, when you needed an answer, you needed, you know, a parliamentarian, he was the guy who was right there, boom, he kind of had answers. And Todd Petty, who was, you know, he did his service.
I think you know, here's what I would like to see, you know, when they do these debates going forward here. Answer the question. Just answer the questions.
Yeah, don't just
talk for a politician.
It is. But you know something? When I ran unopposed the two times that I ran. But you know something? The skinny on me after I got elected was, if you ask him a question, he's going to give you the answer. And I used to say to my constituents, be sure you want to hear the answer to the question because you may not like it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So when you ask the question, you're going to get, and I don't see that happening. And I want to get onto the mayor's race.
And just so folks know, you are listening to Monday Night Talk, and we have a Richard Bath, who is a former Ward 2 school committee member.
Right, and I was also chair of the Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, sir. I apologize for omitting that.
That's okay.
And of course, Bernie Hassan, who is a well-known radio guy on the South Shore, and also runs a fine real estate business. Just want to make sure I made sure folks know who was... Lifelong city resident in Brockton. Give me your thoughts. Let's talk about this mayoral race, where it's basically, to me, I think it's a referendum on the power plant. And what's going to be done if somebody wants to get in there and actually find ways... You know, the biggest things that we saw leading up to this election was we saw a number of violent incidents happen. We saw a batch of homicides that happened in a short amount of time. It kind of, I think, woke people up to this race and saying, hey, we have to do something, and nobody's really offering a real plan.
Well, first of all, as far as a referendum to the power plant, clearly the two candidates have opposing views on the power plant.
Correct.
That aside, let's talk about something that, because the power plant, whether it comes or not, is down the line.
Yep.
What's going to happen in 2014 is how do we keep this city from running out of money?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow. You sound like you're talking about the recent firefighters contract that was just passed.
That. We've just had our taxes raised again. Yep. We've dipped into our rainy day fund, so to speak, significantly. Mm-hmm. So now going forward, now that, you know, if those things have been done, how do we support it through 2014, 2015? How do we do that?
You know, looking at what you have in Linda Balzotti, somebody who's looking for a third term, who hasn't necessarily done anything wrong, but has she done anything as far as a leadership role? Has she provided leadership in key areas? I mean, we saw the water debacle where maybe there were times that there was leadership lacking in that. You know, and almost the city council had
a hot potato.
It was like it was a hot potato. But now you have an issue that folks want to know what's going on as far as my taxes are being raised. What are you doing as far as increasing? I mean, one of the things I think that might have got the attention of voters was you had a guy like Ron Matta who was trying to say, hey, listen, I would increase the police department to 250.
How?
You've read my script because I was going to say, how do you do that? You can't just say you're going to do that without pulling the money from somewhere.
A couple of observations here.
Please.
In the mayor's race here. First of all, this is the first time Linda has not topped the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And she's finished third.
Right.
Okay.
Is that a big deal, though? I mean,
I think so.
Give folks the numbers as far as what happened last Tuesday.
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, Linda got 44% of the vote. Okay, in a four person race.
Right.
I think she needed to poll higher. In order to come out of this and not make this a race, I think she needed to poll 50 plus.
Wow.
That's what I thought. That's what I think. Because then if you poll 50 plus, then you are clearly the front runner. What this tells me in her polling 44% is that 56% of the voters, the people that voted, want to change at that office. They want a change. Okay, so I think that's got to be taken into consideration here. Now, as to how the votes from Chris and Ron Matta
where they end up going,
who knows? And I'm going to disagree with
even
you.
Even if it went 50-50, it becomes a non-factor.
I think we've got a close race here.
Does Ron Matta become the new Arnold Greenblatt? Do we see him in 2 years?
Not according to him.
Okay.
He's talking about moving out of the city. He's done.
Yeah. Well, but you know something, you know, if he's moving out of the city and he's done, you know, is that you're going to take your, you're going to take your cards and
go
leave,
home.
Or you're not going to stay and fight to make the city better? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you and I thought that years ago when
we first moved
here,
we could live anywhere we want to live.
Right.
I choose to live here.
I choose to live here too, and I choose to stay here and try to make it better. But you know, here's the other issue. I mean, she, like I said, and for the first time, she lost three wards. She lost three wards.
Can she get them back? Is it impossible for her to get
them
back?
No, nothing's impossible, Kevin. Okay. Nothing's impossible. But I think, you know, what in a race like this, you want to be in the front seat, not in the back seat. And having that unknown 56% driving the bus.
Well, and 35% of it in the unknown seat.
Right.
In the newcomer seat.
In the newcomer seat. And who has never run
citywide
across the city ever.
Ever.
And did a pretty good job. You know, there's only 818 votes that separate at 9 percentage points. Mm. So, I mean, that's not an insurmountable number.
What does the Carpenter campaign have to do in order to overtake her and basically win a term in City Hall?
Got to be out on the street, beating the pavement, meeting the people, and continuing the message. For good or for bad, he's staked himself a message. In other words, you ask the question sometimes, you know, what is it that you have to say? He hasn't changed much as to what he has to say. Mm. He hasn't backed off any of the controversy.
And he won't.
And so, you know, either that works for him or against him. Mm. But clearly, in this particular vote, on last Tuesday, you know, worked in his favor.
Does it make him battle hardened that he basically was, whenever there were any kind of a debate, that he was kind of a 3-1, where basically he was kind of the one that a lot of them
don't underestimate
Linda Balzotti.
And the Balzotti campaign cannot underestimate the power of Bill's debating skills.
Mm.
Bill was a shock jock for years. It's his claim to fame. He's run radio shows. He knows how to speak in public. He's a very good public speaker.
Well, he also knows the city issues well.
Yes, he does.
And he's a quick learn.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a quick learn.
But I just want to touch upon something that you mentioned, Kevin.
Please do.
You know, and that this may be a referendum on the power plant. I just want to beg to differ with you on this.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I think, here is the issue for me anyway. It's not raising taxes. People got to get over the fact that, oh God, I can't have my taxes raised. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Here's what I want to know. Mm. What are you spending our money on? How are you spending it? Mm. So here's what I would like to see, you know, in both plans from both of the mayoral candidates. How much, where is the revenue coming from? How much do we get? How much do we get from the state? How much do we get from excise? How much do we get from property taxes? And then I want to see the other side of the ledger. What are you spending it on? What are you spending this on? It's not, for me, it's not raising taxes. You know, I can live with the real estate taxes that I have in the city. What my concern is, what are you spending it on? And why do we have to dip into the rainy day fund? Are we really doing the right thing? And people, for me, were talking about, oh, well, we shouldn't give the firefighters a raise. Wrong. I mean, they had.
If not, you have to go to arbitration, and you probably, 9 times out of 10, you might not win that.
Right. Well,
I mean, the teachers just got a larger raise than the firefighters are getting.
Yeah, but the teachers' money does not come from the city. Understand that. That's
okay.
Chapter 70
okay.
money.
Okay.
That comes from the state.
But still, the point is it's still a benchmark that can be looked at.
Yeah, I guess it can, but it doesn't impact the city's budget.
And only
non-net school spending impacts.
And I only say that because that is what I've heard from city councilors and that I've heard from the mayor, that they've said that could be something if they had to go – if this contract – because they're actually voting on that contract tonight, that the city council is basically – they got to finish off what the FinCom did last week. And that is to approve
it. For me, that's apples and oranges because it's two separate pots of money.
Okay.
Bernie, what do you think?
Well, you know, with regard to the whole firefighter contract, nobody wants to see public employees going without a contract. Nobody. And nobody wants to not see the firefighters get a new contract.
Sure.
However, there's
been... the police department that's in line.
You've got
other unions in line,
and
too.
And by the way, there have been plenty of other unions. Corrections officers just got a new contract after being out without one. But they didn't get a retroactive contract. They started fresh, boom, and went forward.
Right.
We did you know, dip into our stabilization fund to do this. And the CFO was telling us we might not be able to pay for it in 2015.
Well, he didn't. From what I understand, he did not put a rub. He was okay with the retro, the first of the two contracts, but he wasn't going forward. From what I understand,
when we renegotiated the contracts for the school department, because I negotiated the non-certified union contracts, and so we gave them similar to what the school, because if we gave them similar to what the teachers got, because it comes out of that pot of money. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, but what we, and I said to them during the negotiations, and they were thrilled with what they got. And I said, look, at next year, we're going to get hit with a $13 million budget deficit. So you got to come back in and help us out.
Mm-hmm.
So when I negotiated the deal with the carpenters, you know what they did? They deferred their raise until the last day of the fiscal year. They didn't get the raise during the fiscal year. They got it the last day of the fiscal year. And you know what they did? You know what it did? It didn't affect their pensions. It didn't affect any of this. It didn't affect anything going forward, only in the fact that they didn't get that 3% raise right up front. So with that, we were able to call back 25 carpenter jobs. Can't they do the same thing here?
Sure.
When the firefighters get a raise, can it go to the end of the fiscal year just before it ends and then take the raise and then you save that kind of money?
Exactly. So those are some types of thinking that wasn't done in this contract.
Well, never. Nobody thinks about that.
No. The crime issue.
Well, we got 3 minutes left. If you can get
just
into that quickly,
just,
please
just
do
real
so.
Real quick.
Yep.
It's looming large in the mayoral race.
Right.
And,
I agree.
And quite frankly, we've been policing, like most cities and towns, the same way for 15 to 20 years.
Yep.
And we need to look at some different types of things in terms of policing.
Is not the Carpenter campaign, have they not? I believe that he's got a new plan, does he not?
He's got a new plan, but he's also got a public safety guy.
Officer Frank Lawrence, I believe, right?
Well, he was also an undersecretary of law enforcement for the state. Aside from what he's got planned, period, one man's opinion, living here my entire life, we're policing the same way we were 15 and 20 years ago.
I agree.
Arresting 100 people on the weekend, putting them back out on the street.
But that supposedly was going to change before Harrington was...
It's a tough thing to do.
He was going to change it. There was going to be comstat policing. And it was going to be a
tough thing to do without the police.
Okay. You've been listening to Monday Night Talk, and I definitely want to thank both my guests, Richard Bath and Bernie Hassan. I will give you each kind of a minute to give me your pick your favorites in the races that we've talked about real quickly. If you want to go from Ward 5, Ward 7, at large, and mayor, we'll let Bernie go. You can go first, Bernie.
I would say Ward 7. I am going to give a nod to Shirley Azar because I think you're going to be surprised at the way she's going to campaign now that she's got some steam.
Okay. As far as Ward 5? Just go
myself,
hang them right up. Yeah.
Ward 5, Ollie's going to be a great campaigner, but I think Dennis beats him. Mm-hmm. Destin Appleton.
We know the two incumbents are going to probably get in, Jay Stewart and Robert Sullivan. Who do you feel is going to fill those open seats?
Well, I think Moises Rodriguez and then probably Craig Pina, but, you know, Shayna Barnes and Paul Beckner, if they campaign hard.
Mm-hmm. And your mayoral pick?
Bill Carpenter by a slight margin.
Okay. Richard, Ward 7.
I think it's a toss-up in Ward 7. You know, in listening to Bernie, I think he's absolutely right. I think Shirley could sneak in there.
Okay.
I think Dennis DiNapoli wins in 5. And I think, well, of course, aside from the two incumbents, I think we're going to get... I think Moises Rodriguez and I like Shayna Barnes' opportunity. The mayoral race, I'm kind of leaning toward... Linda by maybe 1 or 2 points.
Ekes it out.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be a battle. It depends on whether they're going to be able to articulate a concrete plan, which no mayor has done, which no mayor has done in the last 2 decades, and how to revitalize downtown Brockton. Nobody's addressing it.
Gentlemen, I think what we need to do is look at our calendars when we get off air, and I definitely want to have you back in here after November 5th, and we kind of take a look at things and break them down. If you gentlemen have the time in your calendars to do so,
just let me know, Kevin. I'd be more than happy to come back and talk.
Awesome,
not a problem.
Awesome.
Always.
It's always a pleasure to be with Bernie, too.
Excellent. Bernie Hassan, Richard Bath, we are going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to speak with Dr. Kate Roberts. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WATD.